Well, take a seat. I did a bit of a word prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for being here. We want to thank you for being present both in our lives and as part of this fellowship tonight, there, Lord. Lord, I want you to continue to work through tonight, whether it be through the message I'm about to bring or through the worship or through fellowship. Lord, just continue to feel you some way tonight there, Lord. We thank you for being here and opening ourselves up to that. In your wonderful, mighty name. Amen. So this is our last one in the series, our leadership series. And to begin with, we talked about how we're all part of the body of Christ and we're all part of the church. We all have a different role to play in it, no matter how old or how young we are, no matter what our gifts are, we all have a role to play in the life of the church. The second one was how we talked about working under leadership and when we're in leadership, the qualities that we need to look at and how we're working under the leadership of Christ. So whether we're in leadership or not, how we work together, we work under Christ. And Matt Carson last week did a wonderful job of saying how much, talking about how, you know, the different qualities of a leader and the different qualities of a Christian leader, and did a great job of that. So tonight we want to wrap this series up and talk about what we can offer and what we do and the influence that we have both in our leadership roles and without our leadership roles. But first I want to show a couple of warning signs that we find on different things. And as I said, I had a bit of a problem with my PowerPoint presentation where I gave these guys the wrong one, and so with a mad dash out the back and hopefully done up some done it again and a thing. So, but if you can have the first picture up, if it's going to...
Sorry,
2 seconds. 2 seconds. But what I'm going to be talking about is, to begin with, is warning signs that we see on everyday objects. Now, it is you find some really, really stupid warning signs on the everyday objects now. And from everything from talking about on a packet of peanuts, it says these things may contain nuts. Exactly. And on a Superman costume, it says, I haven't got a picture of this, but on a Superman costume, it says, wearing this suit doesn't actually make you fly. And it has an actual warning sign on that. And I'm not too sure. Obviously, somewhere down the line, either their insurance company has said, don't do this. Someone has tried this. We could get sued. Or there's a possibility of that might happening. So these warning signs have come out of nowhere. And I've got a few other ones. If it will... Are we almost there, Jacob?
Yeah.
Hey, here we go. So this one's for... an hour's waiting. So this one's for... a letter opener, a staple, that says, safety goggles recommended. So I don't know where these lawsuits come from that made them think about this one. The second one was found on a scooter, and it says, do not ride on a sloped area. Exercise caution in a common sense. This product moves when used. So obviously, it's a scooter, so it is supposed to be used. This one's from a dog medication bottle. It says, alcohol might intensify this effect. Use care when operating car or dangerous machinery. So I'm not too sure what dogs have been driving cars lately and operating heavy machinery. That's okay. Must be some pretty talented dogs out there. On an iPad shuffle, it says, do not eat iPod shuffle. Taking love of music to a new level. Chainsaw, is this one? Do not hold the wrong end of a chainsaw. I like this one. This was on a one-year-old birthday card. It said, not suitable for children under 3 years. So I'm not too sure. And this is this last one is one of my favourite ones. It's for a hair straightener. And don't use it to crimp your eyelashes. And I'm not too sure if that's possible or not. But, yeah, someone must have tried it out there to do that. Now... as I said, these stupid warning signs come on virtually everything nowadays. And so the influx of this started back in about 1992. And a 76-year-old grandmother successfully sued McDonald's for not warning their cup of coffee that it was going to be hot. So she spilled it on herself and sued McDonald's for not labelling it that this contains hot liquid. And in it, she became a millionaire. And from that case, we've been influenced by all these other warning labels. Now, what had happened is that other fast food companies didn't want to be sued as well, so they started putting labels on their ones. And then also the insurance company that dealt with McDonald's said, okay, this is going to start a platform for other things now, so we're going to make sure that we're not going to get sued and start putting labels on things. So this little old lady just wanted to make a few dollars out of it, didn't realise the influence that she was going to have over the whole world. And so we nowadays we find, as I said, stupid warning signs on virtually everything. Because this little old lady had influence over what we buy. And I wanted to use that example is to say that, do we realise the influence that we have? Do you realise the influence that you have? So you will have influence over a lot of people in our lifetime. You might think that you have influence, but quite often we never really think, or we never really realise the amount of influence we have in other people's lives. So just some basic things. Has anyone ever asked you, are you going out to this party tonight? And you say yes or no, yeah, I am going, or no, I'm not. And that might have influenced the other person. And then said, what are you wearing to this party tonight? Or what are you wearing to church tonight? And that might have been influenced. There's been many times when I've had to ring someone up and said, is this a fancy dress party? What style of fancy dress party? How much are you going? Is it going to be, you're going to go full out in a clown costume or just the wig or whatever? So whatever the other person said is how it's influenced our lives. And so just recently, I asked a friend what he was listening to, what music he was listening to. One of them had listened to it, and now I've fallen in love with it and bought the CD. I still bought the CD. Obviously, one of those old-fashioned ones where I just don't allow it. I buy the CD because it's great to have in your hand. But, yeah, no, he influenced me over which style of music I was listening to now. So we all have... They're just some basic examples of how we influence other people. And so we all have influence in each other's lives, in our friends' lives, in our family's lives, within work, within uni, within school. We all have influence. We are a person of influence. And this is where it comes to this text that we're going to read about today. And this is from Matthew 5, 13 to 16. I'm going to have it up there again, because I think the version that I was going to read. Okay, here we go. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and so I'll talk about the reason behind what it could have been talking to before, but I think it should be okay. We can basically read it, and I'll read it as well there. So Matthew 5, 13 to 16. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. The same way, let your light shine before others, and that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It's interesting to see this part. I mean, as I said, it is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And so right before this, Jesus is there, he's walking with the disciples, sees a whole bunch of people, and sees a crowd there, says, okay, let's move away to this side of the hill. Let's move away to the mountain. So it's a bit not too... Some people have debated whether the message that he talks about now is for everyone or just his disciples. But either way, there's some great messages in this sort of thing. So Jesus has just gone, this is just straight after the Beatitudes, when Jesus has said, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are all these people that you think are being marginalised, but they're blessed. So in the first instant, Jesus is turning this upside down and saying, okay, all the people that you think are worthless or put down or whatever are now blessed. I favour these people. I love these people. That's what Jesus is saying. So straight after that period here. So whether he's just talking to the disciples, and you can imagine even just if he's just talking to the disciples who they were. I mean, there was a fisherman and tax collector, so not people of high authority. That was everyday people. And here he's talking to them as well as the crowd. And so he's saying that this message is for everyone. So he's saying that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So the first half of it, he says, we're the salt of the earth. Just like salt seasons food and influences the taste of food, we have to be the same in the world. See, salt played a big part back in those days. They didn't have fridges or freezers, so salt was used to preserve the food. And so too little salt would make it go off quickly, and too much salt would ruin the taste of it. But we now, even for our days, we know how much salt affects food. I mean, I love fried foods, and I mean, I didn't get to this shape by accident. You know, all chips and all that stuff there, it's good. And there's nothing better than some chicken salt or some salt and vinegar chips. It's really, really good. But too much of it can spoil it. Now, I'm not too sure if you've ever played that trick on someone, but I was around at dinner not too long ago at a friend's place, and they had a nice roast for me. They cooked up a nice roast, and I was like, oh, it looked great. It had the gravy and the lamb and the potatoes and the peas, and I thought, oh, a bit of roast, you need to have a bit of salt on there. And so lo and behold, I got the salt shaker, and the top wasn't done up properly. You've done it before? Everyone else has done it. Now, sometimes, I'm not too sure if it was a trick they were playing me, because you can't play that trick on people, but you shake it up there, and all of a sudden, it's like in slow motion, and especially with me and food, I love it. And so you put it in slow motion, and all of a sudden, you see the whole heap of salt just come down onto the food. And I'm thinking, I'm at someone else's house. Do I ask for a new plate? Or do I just eat it? Do I just scrape it off? I can't really put it back in the jar. I couldn't do that. So I just put it to one side and I still ate it, but it didn't taste as good. And so, just like salt influences things in a good way, we can have also bad influences in people's lives. Our influence we have can influence people in a bad way. The other day, we were just sitting down to eat our meal at home, and I got a 6-year-old Beth, and we're sitting down there, and she's just wanting to start to use a knife to cut up food, and I thought, that's okay, we'll start doing that. So she starts cutting up, and it takes a long time to cut anything up, and so we're just watching her now, and all of a sudden, towards the end of it, she brings the knife up to her mouth. I'm thinking, what on earth are you doing? My wife and both saw this happening, and we thought, what are you doing? Linda said, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I'm about to lick the knife. And then we thought, what? And Linda and I both looked at each other, and she said, why do you want to lick the knife? She goes, well, Daddy does it after each meal. I thought, oh. Without even knowing it, like, I do it because obviously you want to savour every little bit of food that we have. She's having a good meal. I lick the knife sometimes as well. But my daughter didn't even realise that, saw me doing it, didn't even have to say anything, but she saw me doing it and wanted to do it herself. And so obviously I've had to learn to stop doing it, or at least make sure she's not looking and do it that way. but you see in our own ways how we influence people, and people are looking at us and watching us to see what we do. And they're influenced by what we say, what we do, and how we act. And both in a positive way, but also both in a negative way as well. So we've all heard about peer pressure and the negative effect that it has on the world. And the Quitline put a statistic out not too long ago that 75% of people who start smoking do so because of peer pressure or the peer environment. It is a major cause of other addictions as well. So we know what around us, how influence can be good and bad as well. And the power that we all have without even realising the influence that we have in other people's lives. But back in those days, and still to now, salt was a good thing. Salt was to be used as a good thing. And so with our influence, the way that we use it as a good thing. The influence that we have, that we all possess, is a good thing. The second half of the example that Jesus goes on to say is that we are a light of the world. Quite often we think, what role can I play? Am I bigger or am I smaller? Oh, I can't do that. Now, but we do get to have a play. We do get to have a role to play and influence in our lives. Now I'm going to, without notice, get the guys to turn the lights off for a second. I'm playing with matches here. Hey, now it's not completely dark. Ah, that was going to happen. Hopefully I haven't burned a hole in anything else there. But you can see, even just with one little light, how much you can see. Well, I can't see because I'm just seeing you guys. But hopefully you can see with me, just one little light can light up a whole way. And you can see a fair bit with just one little light. Now, this is an example that Jesus was using back then. To say, with one little light, and when you look out at night, and you can see the road lights, or the street lights, you can see a lot of them from a far way away, like that. So this is what Jesus is talking about. And now you can put the headlights on. But this is what Jesus was talking about. The fact that we can be a light in the world. And we're not just not to be put under a hill, not to be put under a tub or anything like that. We're to be lighting people out and lighting people away there so we can understand who we are and what we are. And that's the influence, again, that we have in our lives. So how are we supposed to take this influence that we've got? Do we use the influence we have? Do we realise the potential of the influence that we have? I'm going to share a couple of examples of one in leadership and one not in leadership. I'm not too sure if many of you have heard the name of Rachel Scott before, but she was a teenager in America, and in 1999 she was part of the Columbine High School, the shooting here, and that's a picture of her there. But yeah, in 1999, two youth tore through Columbine High School, and this was one of the first major high school shootings that happened and killed a lot of people through that. Now, she was a normal Christian teenager following her life and her strong beliefs. She followed Jesus right to the end. And it was said that just before she died, one of the gunmen asked her and said, "Do you believe in Jesus?" And she said, "Yes." And so that was probably her last words that she had. Now, after her death, all her friends and family were inspired by the way she lived her life. They also believed that Rachel's message of hope needed to be shared with other people. So they published her memoirs, they published her diary, they published other books with her writings and stories in there as well. This ordinary Christian girl who stood up for what she believed in has had an influence far beyond her years and still to this very day. Now, she was just going on about being a normal, everyday Christian, standing up for what she believes in, but since then has been able to influence so many more people through that. Secondly, for myself, and I'll take that picture off now. Secondly, for myself, during high school, I wasn't that much interested in church. Like, I was interested in sport and friends, and I didn't really hang out that much with the church people. But I went to church, and there was a guy in particular that was there that kept on inviting me to things and saying, come along to church. And so I did, and we used to hang out, and there was a whole heap of other guys my age there as well. And so when he got into a leadership position as well, he said, "Oh, we need some other leaders in this. I think you'd be good for it. Would you like to help me with this?" And I thought, I hadn't thought about it before. But he said, "Yeah, no, look, I need some help, and I think you'd be good in it. And so I'm doing it, and would you like to come along and help?" And so I thought, I thought about it for a little bit. And thought, yeah, I'll do that. He didn't push me. He didn't say anything. He didn't force me. He just said, "Hey, look, I think you'd be good at this. We need some people. Let's do it together." And I thought, if this other guy was doing it, if Ralph was doing it, then I'd be doing it too. Like, I can do that too. And so he was a person, similar age to me, but he was starting off in leadership and I hadn't even started yet. And he was asking me, you can do it too. Encouraging me to say, okay, this is a great opportunity for you as well. So when I got a taste of leadership and I thought, well, I was at that crossroads and not knowing what to do in my life, I thought, oh, I can actually do this. And that's when I went on to Bible college and went on to a few other things. And so that virtually almost started to where I am today. Now, I'm not too sure without that encouragement, without that influence in my life, where I'd be, whether I'd still be in this role. I might be, but I might not be. But I know that his leadership and his influence in my life has helped me to get to where I am today. And so here are one person, Rachel, who wasn't in leadership role, but then my friend Ralph, who was having influence in different ways. See, these two people did nothing extraordinary. They went about their lives doing ordinary things, but still had a really positive influence in our lives. To be a positive influence in people's lives doesn't take any extra training, doesn't take any extra thinking. We're already being part of people's lives now. We've got to work out how we influence each other's lives. See, a leading sociologist once said that even the most introvert-minded person would still influence about 10,000 people in their life. That's pretty powerful. I mean, the amount of people that we're going to come in contact with, we can have an influence in their lives. So where does this sit in leadership? And when we're wrapping up this series on leadership, it's about thinking about the roles that we play, the roles that we have in life, whether we are in leadership or not. If we are in leadership, we expect it to have influence in people's lives. And it's about thinking about how we do have that influence. When we're not in leadership, we still have influence. We have influence in our friends. We have influence in the leaders above us as well. It's about using that influence we have. And so when we're talking about leadership here, when we're talking about structure and things here, we want to know what's going on with you guys. We want to be influenced by how God is working in your life. Because we know that God is working in your life. We know God is doing some wonderful things here. But we need to hear that. We want to know that. And so that is one way where you can be a positive influence within each other and within the life of here at the church. So in closing, we all have influence. We all have influence, whether we're a leader or whether we're not. Like we tied up in the first series, the first one of these series, to say, hey, we all have spiritual gifts, whether we're in leadership or not. And so when we talk about the life of the church, we all have a role to play. We all have a positive influence to play in the life of the church. So I want you to think about how you can use the gifts that you have and the influence that you have to further your own journey with God and to further the journey around, further the journey of people around you. And if that is in leadership, that's great. But if it's not in leadership, that's great also. So let's just close in prayer. Hey God, we just want to thank you for firstly the influence that you have in our lives. We are led by you. We do all things for you there, Lord. And you have been the great example in our lives. And you have given us the influence within each other's lives there, Lord. So, Lord, when we think about our role, our duty, let us think about how we can influence people in a positive way. How we can help people get closer to you there, Lord. And whether we're in leadership or not there, Lord, let us think about how we use the influence that we have. Let us strive to be a positive influence. And let us look to areas where we might be negative that we can take them out of our lives. We just pray these things in your name. Amen.